This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings. As we begin another week, I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppo.
And I'm Nate Burleson.
We begin with an extraordinary breaking news story from overseas. A possible terrorist attack may have been averted by a heroic and quick-thinking taxi driver in the United Kingdom. Newly released video shows the moment a taxi pulled up to a hospital in the city of Liverpool yesterday and exploded in a ball of flames. We are learning that the driver's quick actions may have prevented a more serious tragedy. Our Holly Williams has the latest on this unfolding story. Holly, good morning.
Good morning. Well, this morning, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson praised the taxi driver for his bravery and presence of mind. And the mayor of Liverpool said the taxi driver heroically averted what could have been a, quote, awful disaster after apparently noticing his passenger's suspicious behavior and locking the man in his car. And in more good news, the taxi driver survived.
This security camera video, posted online by the Liverpool Echo newspaper, appears to show the taxi pulling in outside Liverpool Women's Hospital. An explosion inside the car, the driver jumping clear, and then the taxi bursting into flames. The police have confirmed that the suspected terrorist died.
It is not clear what the motivation for this incident is. Our inquiries indicate that an improvised explosive device has been manufactured, and our assumption so far is that it was built by the passenger.
British media reports have named the quick-thinking taxi driver as David Perry. We can't independently confirm that at this point, but amazingly, he reportedly suffered only minor injuries in the explosion, including cuts and a ruptured eardrum. The incident occurred close to Liverpool's cathedral, where a Remembrance Sunday service was held yesterday to remember fallen soldiers from the two world wars, and where there were over 1,000 people in attendance.
Four men have been arrested in Liverpool in connection with this terrorist incident. MI5, that's the British Counterintelligence Agency, is helping with the investigation. Nate.
That taxi driver is indeed a hero. Holly Williams in London, thank you so much. Now, as we speak, Kenosha, Wisconsin is bracing for today's closing arguments in the Kyle Rittenhouse murder trial. The 18-year-old from Illinois claims he acted in self-defense when he killed two people and wounded a third last year during protest over the police shooting of Jacob Blake. The Wisconsin governor has activated about 500 National Guard troops to help respond to any protest of the verdict. Nancy Chen is in Kenosha. Nancy, good morning.
Nate, good morning to you. We spoke with Kyle Rittenhouse's mother, Wendy, over the weekend. She says her son only came to Kenosha to help that night, despite the fact that two people are now dead.
Kyle told his side of the story, and it was the truth.
Wendy Rittenhouse is defending her son Kyle's actions on August 25th, 2020, when he traveled to Kenosha to, as he says, protect people's property. But during the tense night of protests, Rittenhouse, armed with an AR-15-style weapon, shot three people, killing two of them.
Kyle's nature is to help people.
So in talking to him, he does regret going that night now?
Yeah, he does.
But the prosecutor painted a different picture.
The defendant fled the scene of the dead body of Joseph Rosenbaum without stopping to offer any aid whatsoever.
Rittenhouse faces six charges, the most serious being intentional homicide. The jury heard from more than 30 witnesses over 8 days about what happened that night.
I thought that the defendant was an active shooter.
One of the most dramatic moments was Rittenhouse himself describing what happened.
There was people right there.
What was going on in your mind as you saw him?
Scared, overwhelmed, frightened. I didn't want to see my son like that.
On Friday, the judge indicated the jury will likely be able to consider lesser charges in the case.
The more charges, the more chance of conviction.
CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman.
The upside for a defendant in the case of lesser included offenses is that if there is a conviction of a lesser included offense, the defendant would face a much lesser punishment.
18 jurors have heard this case. Today, 12 will be randomly selected to decide the verdict. And because this is a complicated trial, that verdict could take a while. But if convicted of the most serious charges, Rittenhouse could face life in prison, Gail.
Our jurors have a big responsibility today. Thank you very much, Nancy. This afternoon, President Biden will sign a more than $1 trillion infrastructure bill into law as his popularity is sinking. A new poll shows the president's approval rating is at an all-time low. Just 41% of those surveyed said that they approve of the president's job performance. 53% said they do not approve. Ed O'Keefe is at the White House with more on this story. Ed, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gail. Happy Monday. Good to see you. The White House describes this infrastructure bill as once-in-a-generation legislation, but that new poll shows that most Americans now are upset about the economy and the state of inflation. Aides are hoping he can turn around those numbers. One way he might be able to do that, convince fellow members of his party to pass part two of his ambitious economic agenda.
We're confident that this bill is going to come up in the House this week, that we'll get a vote, it will pass, and it will move on to the Senate.
President Biden's top economic advisor expressing confidence the $1.85 trillion social spending plan will pass in the House this week.
This bill is actually going to address the core costs that American families are facing.
And Brian Deese says passage of the legislation is urgent as Americans face increasing costs on everything, from gas to food to cars. On Face the Nation, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen also acknowledged concerns about inflation.
When does it get better? When do those spikes abate?
You know, when the economy recovers enough from COVID that demand patterns, people go back to eating out, traveling more, spending more on services, and the demand for products, for goods, begins to go back to normal.
Yellen defended the Build Back Better plan, saying that while it's not expected to include a big paid family leave plan, it should help put more Americans back to work.
I think that package will help boost labor force participation, particularly that of women. Paid leave is another component that would add to that, but there's a lot in that package that will make a difference.
Republicans like Michigan Congressman Fred Upton oppose the Biden plan and are skeptical Democrats have enough support.
There are a lot of hurdles before this turkey really starts to move.
So the president set to sign that bipartisan infrastructure plan later today in an elaborate ceremony here at the White House. But aides still won't tell us, Gail, which Republicans, if any, will be in attendance.
That's going to be interesting. But Ed, before you go, we know the president's holding a virtual meeting tonight with Chinese president, that's Xi Jinping. What can you tell us about that meeting?
Yeah, you could call this the most high-stakes Zoom call of the year. The White House understands that with the increasing economic competition between the U.S. and China, they got to manage that, and having these two leaders talk is part of a way to do it. Aides say the president expected to be, quote, direct and candid about a number of issues, including China's handling of human rights, the situation in Taiwan, what they call economic coercion, and cyber technology. The White House believes that since Xi has an increasingly firm grip on power in China, the best way to get these two leaders talking, to keep the two countries on the same page, is to get them to engage directly. It's going to be a late night here at the White House, early morning in Beijing. Gail.
Well, presidents just like us using Zoom. Thank you, Ed.
Take care.
Now, sticking with the economy for all you drivers out there, across the country, we are seeing the highest gas prices in 7 years. The national average for regular gas is roughly $3.41 per gallon, up roughly 60% from a year ago. In California, the average price hit an all-time high, about $4.67 per gallon. Errol Barnett joins us from Washington. Errol, what can the U.S. government do to get the price of gas down again?
Hey there, Nate. Good morning. Look, not very much. Perhaps tap into the fuel reserves. We'll have more on that in just a second. But the reality is the price of gas is up because the same reason so many other things are expensive, right? The global supply chain still slowly unwinding from the pandemic. Also consider that oil producers are keeping supply consistent despite this dramatic surge in demand here in the U.S. and around the world because so many people are trying to get their lives somewhat back to normal. Now, historically speaking, the price of a gallon of gas is still 70 cents below the all-time high set during the Great Recession. But because prices for consumer goods across the board are up, we're all feeling that pain when we fuel up more acutely. Now, on Sunday, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called on President Biden to tap into the strategic petroleum reserves in an effort to lower costs. That could slightly bring down prices through the holidays. But the reality is that is a temporary solution. Get this, AAA is estimating more than 48 million Americans will hit the road for Thanksgiving next week. That's pushing up demand. That will push up prices. So the best advice for drivers really is to fuel up as soon as you can. Get gas now, Tony, to avoid that pinch at the pump next week.
Good advice there, Errol. Thank you very much. Turning to politics now, Steve Bannon, former President Trump's White House chief of staff, or rather White House strategist, and one of his most trusted advisors for a long time, is expected to surrender today to face new criminal charges. A federal grand jury has indicted Bannon for defying a congressional subpoena from the House committee investigating the January 6th assault on the U.S. Capitol. As Nicole Killian shows us, members of that committee are hoping the charges serve as a warning shot to other Trump aides.
This should not be happening in this country.
Over the weekend, former White House strategist Steve Bannon slammed the probe into the deadly riots on January 6th.
And it certainly should not be happening in the capital of this republic, under the official watch of official Washington. That's what's so maddening about it.
The 67-year-old Trump ally was indicted by a federal grand jury Friday. He was charged with two counts of contempt of Congress for refusing to appear for a deposition and provide documents to the House Select Committee investigating the Capitol attack. Each count carries a maximum penalty of a $1,000 fine and a year in jail. The panel believes Bannon played a multifaceted role and had specific knowledge about the events of January 6th, including this warning on his podcast the day before.
All hell is going to break loose tomorrow.
Former President Trump defended his advisor, saying in a statement in part, "This country has perhaps never done to anyone what they have done to Steve Bannon, and they are looking to do it to others also."
The select committee to investigate.
The committee has subpoenaed nearly two dozen Trump officials, including former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, who skipped a deposition last week and could also face contempt charges.
When ultimately witnesses decide, as Meadows has, that they're not even going to bother showing up, that they have that much contempt for the law, then it pretty much forces our hand and we'll move quickly.
Chairman Benny Thompson told reporters he could recommend contempt charges against Mark Meadows as soon as this week, although so far the committee has not scheduled any formal proceedings. Nate?
Nicole, thank you. Now on to a story we've been following, and as it unfolds, continues to break our heart. In Houston, a nine-year-old boy is the 10th and youngest person to die from injuries sustained at the Astroworld concert 10 days ago. Ezra Blunt had been in an induced coma. His grandfather said the boy was on his father's shoulders when his dad passed out in a crush of bodies. Ezra fell and was trampled by the crowd. His family and others are suing performer Travis Scott and event organizers, who are also the focus of a criminal investigation. They say they are cooperating with the authorities.
It's tough to hear. Britain's Queen Elizabeth canceled her attendance at a national remembrance ceremony yesterday due to a new health concern. Buckingham Palace released a statement saying she had sprained her back. Now, this was supposed to be the Queen's first in-person event since she was briefly hospitalized back in October. Elizabeth Palmer has more from outside Windsor Castle.
At Sunday's Remembrance Day ceremony commemorating military deaths since World War I, Prince Charles was among the dignitaries. And so was his son, Prince William. Singing God Save the Queen. But the Queen herself wasn't there on the balcony where yesterday three royal wives were standing. It's only the seventh time in nearly 70 years that she's missed this solemn ritual, since her own days serving as a mechanic and driver during World War II. In the past, she was only absent because she was pregnant or traveling. The palace say she missed this year's ceremony with great regret because she'd sprained her back. Roya Nika is a royal reporter.
My understanding is that the issues with the Queen, that Fawcett arrests, were more to do with her mobility than any other underlying health concern.
Queen Elizabeth remains remarkably active, but she is 95 years old. Recently, she's been using a walking stick, and in October spent a night in the hospital for what doctors called tests. The nation has been gradually getting used to the sight of other royals taking a more prominent public role, while the Queen, like many of us, figured out Zoom and worked from home.
I'm very glad to have the chance to see you.
Royal sources are reassuring, though. They're saying that the Queen will be back on the job at Windsor Castle behind me, carrying on with her schedule of light duties. Gail?
We all hope so. We're sending our good thoughts and strength. Thank you, Elizabeth Palmer, reporting from Windsor Castle.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.